Lecture 27, Sargon II.
In the 9th century, Assyria was well established as a significant power in Mesopotamia. Ashurnasirpal II and Shalmaneser III sponsored impressive palaces at the new capital at Nimrud that reflected the strength of the state they created. Their successes faded quickly in the late 9th century, and for the next several decades, Assyrian rulers faced internal challenges and a growing threat in the north. In this lecture, we will trace the remarkable spread of the Assyrian Empire in the second half of the 8th century, beginning with the reign of Tiglath-Pileser III, who ruled from 744 to 727, and continuing with Sargon II, who ruled from 721 to 705 BC. By the end of Sargon's reign, the Assyrian borders reached from the shores of the Arabian Gulf through Mesopotamia into southern Anatolia and south through the lands of Israel. Certain administrative changes were necessary to control their territory, and we will take a look at the methods the Assyrians used. In addition, we will discuss the major campaigns of Sargon, the eponymous capital of Dur-Sharrukin that he built, and the discovery of an intact royal tomb of one of his queens, who was buried at Nimrud. After half a century of decline, the second and most extensive phase of the Assyrian Empire began with the reign of Tiglath-Pileser III, who ruled from 744 to 727. He was especially active in the west, concentrating on Syria, Israel, and the area of Gaza. He seems to have been much more ambitious than his predecessors, because the Assyrian army had not campaigned in such distant lands for many years. Tiglath-Pileser also enacted some important administrative reforms, such as promoting powerful eunuchs to positions in the military and as governors of the provinces that he was adding to the Assyrian state. During the late 8th century BC, there was a shift in Assyrian provincial control from simply compelling tribute from provinces to actually assimilating these regions completely into the empire. The goal may well have been to have closer control of these conquered regions and to establish a system of governance that would keep provincial governors in check. Once control of a region was established through military means, or surrender, if an area wanted to prevent the Assyrian army from turning loose in their cities, the Assyrians developed an administrative structure to be set in place. Many of the details of governance had been worked out during the Middle Assyrian period, but the more effective control of the rulers during the Neo-Assyrian Empire made this administration much more successful. When the Assyrians claimed a province, they could choose one of three ways to govern it, depending on the threat of rebellion in the area. A local ruler could be left in place to continue to administer the region and to ensure that Assyria was supplied with the required tribute. The benefit of this would be that the person in charge would be someone familiar to the people in the area, and that he would most effectively be able to get the taxes that were necessary for the Assyrian king. It would also mean that the Assyrian ruler would not need to necessarily supply this particular ruler with troops to ensure that he collected these taxes. So all in all, it was the easiest way for an Assyrian king to govern an area. If the existing political structure was not loyal, then the Assyrians would set up a puppet ruler whom they believed to be more reliable, maybe someone who had negotiated with them to ease their access into a region or a city in hopes of being rewarded in this way.